Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Grandma Fuel.
Right? Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Jess. I'm a recovering addict.
Hi.
My clean date is November 19th of 2009. This is the first retreat that I've ever stayed at, and I am loving it. I'm probably going to do this again as long as there's cabins. This weekend was really, really awesome for me. Friday, whenever I got here, and Courtney was like, Jess, why don't you stay until? What time are you leaving? And I knew it was coming. Like, I was really kind of like, this is why I don't come to these things. But I woke up this morning, like, really, really grateful to be able to come here and to do this. That reading, We Do Recover, I can remember a time where I fought to keep it in the readings in my home group. It's my favorite reading. Every time that reading is read, I immediately go to where I was whenever I got clean, which was I had no desire at all to get clean at all. I wanted to die at the end of my road. I had tried to get clean. I'd been around the program. I had picked up a billion white key tags. As far as I was concerned, I was so uniquely different from you guys. Like, it worked for you, but it was never, ever going to work for me. I was legally forced into rehab. I knew that there was no way I was going to die in jail. So I took the rehab option, and simply, by God's grace and mercy, like, it really had nothing to do with me. I found a desire to, for the first time, honestly, try this program and do what was suggested of me. And it happened pretty early. And I think it needed to. I really, really believe that everybody has their own process, and it absolutely happens the way that it needed to. I was in a lot of pain whenever I was in rehab, whenever I went in. I was so uncomfortable in my own skin. I can just remember, like, my skin crawling, and, like, I would sit in the corner and think about running. That's all I knew how to do was run away. I got clean in a rehab in a neighborhood where I copped. And I would just, like, look out the window, and I would think about how easy it would be for me to go. But there were some amazing people working at this rehab, and the message that they carried, like, I will never, ever forget it. Like, still to this day, when I run into them at meetings, like, I hug them, I thank them. They saved my life. They really did. I would get, like, these little glimpses of hope whenever they would talk to me, I was, like, court ordered to rehab for, like, 90 days, it was awful. At first it was, like, really awesome as I found, like, this, like, as I started to gain more and more hope, but, eventually, like, I have, like, I don't know, you know, I've been to rehab a lot of times, and they were always, like summer camps for me. It was kind of like this, like a bunch of addicts running around on a mountain, like, having fun. Like, this last day in rehab was not fun. Whenever I left, I did what I was told to do this time in rehab. I got a sponsor, and she's awesome. I tell her what I'm doing, what I'm thinking about doing, what I did. I've learned a lot about how to have relationships with people through my sponsorship relationship. We've been together for a few years now, and like every relationship, like, we've had our tough times. We've had times where she was not happy with me, and I haven't been happy with her, And I've learned how to work through problems through that instead of running from them. I got a Wii. There was another girl who, had, like, we came in at around the same time, and we were both, like, on fire for recovery. And And we hit meetings. Neither one of us were working. We had, like, zero responsibilities. My mom had my child at the time. So I was, like, afforded the opportunity to really, like, lay a foundation in recovery. And we hit meetings, and we met people, and we built Wees, and it was awesome. And then, I worked steps. Through 1, 2, and 3, I found out, like, I don't talk about this very often, and I don't really know why, but it's been on my mind, like, all weekend. I was raised, like, as, like, a hardcore Christian. Like, I went to, like, Catholic schools and, like, just in Christianity. And 1, 2, and 3 was, like, really important for me, because that was an area that I really, really struggled in, like, having a higher power. And I came to find out through that process that I'm agnostic, you know, and that's okay. And it broke my mother's heart, and she'll get over it. And, the relationship that I have, like, my belief system is huge in my life today. I'm very, very reliant on prayer. My sponsor says things to me, like, I like to say, like, I'll be like, I'll find myself in situations, I'll be like, well, the only thing I can do is pray. And she, like, corrects me, like, no, the best thing you can do is pray. You're not going to do anything more than God is. So. I started to read the chapter in the book last night of, like, We Do Recover, because I was thinking about this. And, I think it was in, like, the first paragraph where it talked about, like, our attitudes, thoughts, and behaviors change. And I just started to think about how different I handle things in life today. These last, like, 2 years have been absolute roller coasters. There's just been a lot going on in my family, a lot going on with my child, a lot going on with me, honestly. I went through interferon, which was really, really hard, but I'm really glad I did it. My grandfather has been, like, the pillar of my family. He holds us all together, and he's dying. He's dying, and everybody in my family is falling apart. And, I can think about whenever I was in addiction and my brother was dying, and how I would show up at the hospital expecting people to feel appreciative that I showed up, and I made it about me, my pain, my brother's dying, and, I think back on it, and I'm like embarrassed, and I think about how I would have been so much better off just not to have even shown up at all. I did more damage than anything, and with my grandpa, it's been a totally different situation. I've shown up and been like, how can I help? I've supported my family members. I've held his hand. I've fed him. Like, I've really been given an opportunity to give back a lot to somebody that I've taken a lot from. It's been absolutely beautiful. It's things you can't put a price tag on. It's things that I honestly in my heart feel like, I feel like recovery is an unwarranted gift, and I don't know how to say this without somebody, like, because I can hear people correcting me, but I don't feel like I deserve recovery. I don't. Not the things that I did, and I never forget that, like, it's a gift that I was given, and I try to stay, like, really, really grateful through my actions. My daughter's been going through a lot. She's transitioning. She's been transitioning. It's really hard for her. Whenever I was in addiction, I had my daughter, I had Jocelyn, and she, I thought she was going to save my life, and it was going to be really easy for me to, like, stop shooting dope and get clean, because I was never going to be one of those parents, and it wasn't. She didn't just make it all better at the snap of my fingers. It didn't happen like that. And, And whenever I could no longer use her as leverage to get things that I wanted, I handed her over to my mother. And in recovery, as time went on, like, at first I was really, really scared of being a parent. I didn't really know that I was capable of being a parent. And I had some women in my life that were like, no, it's your responsibility to be a parent. And you have to start stepping up and you have to do these things. So, I don't know, somewhere around like a year, 18 months, like she started to really, like I started claiming that those things and we were like here and like as time's gone on. And I mean, for the last year or so, like she's been with me like full time, like I'm her mom. She knows I'm her mom. We're building a relationship. You know, but it's been a struggle because I was like a big sister. I wasn't a mom for so much of her life. And, you know, there's so often where like, I want to handle it through. There's so often that I was handling it through, like, I can see my growth in this program as a parent through anger. And I'd want to like force her and make her and control these things. And over the last couple of years, like my approach to parenting has changed so much. And that's like, because I surround myself with women who have the things that I want. You know, I watch them with their children and the behavior and the relationships that they emulate. I want that. You know, I ask them questions. I talk to them. Like I watch them. And then I do that with my daughter, and it's been beautifully rewarding. You know, like, my relationship with my mother is probably the sickest relationship that I've ever been in. She's bipolar, and she's untreated. And a lot of the behavior reminds me of us in addiction, only without the drugs. And, you know, my mom and I started a business together when I got clean. So we worked very closely together for a long time, and you know, I'm like, I would come into the rooms and I would cry and I would do everything that like I was told. I did everything I could in this relationship, which is what I've come to realize is emotionally abusive. It took me a long time to realize that. Like I don't think I even wanted to believe that I was in an emotionally abusive relationship with my mom, you know? I really wanted it to work. I thought that once I got clean, I would be able to make it work. But you can only do so much. You know, like I hear it all the time. Like we come here and we start to get better, and our families don't necessarily do that. And you know, for 3 years, I've been talking about opting out, stepping out of this business, which I love. I still love it. I can't even call and find out what's going on with it because it makes me cry. It's my baby. It grew with me in my recovery. I put everything into it. It really gave me a sense of self-worth, you know, to be able to build something instead of destroy it. But I did it. I finally did it like a few months ago. And, it was a long time coming, you know, like when I think about like we do recover, like I think about my process and the things that I've gone through and how I've struggled and I've come here and you guys have loved me and you've given me suggestions and I can always find somebody who's gone through something, if not exactly the same, similar, and you can tell me how to do it and how to do it clean. You know, at the end of the day, like, because trust me, I have bad days. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm out there. I'm trying. I watch a lot of people in these rooms and Becky said it last night about like the obsession with spirituality being like a crutch, you know, and I watch a lot of people and I don't want NA to be my life. I don't. I came here to get a life. It is an avenue back to life for me. You know, I have a job. I live on my own. I pay my bills. I take care of my child. I show up and I take responsibility for my life. I'm not expecting people to take care of me today. You know, and that's what I was taught to do here. That's the message that I was given, is to be responsible for my life, my choices, the things that I do. I've recently had to allow somebody who's not in recovery back into my life, which is my daughter's dad. He's taken the actions to put his daughter back in his life, and there's not a whole lot I can do about it. Like, where I know that using alcohol and an obsessive amount of, you know, psych meds is probably not clean, the court system doesn't see it that way. And that's been a big struggle for me because, I don't have a choice here. You know, he has rights and it's hard. It's hard. Like, every single time that I allow my daughter to go see her dad, like, my heart stops. I'm terrified. I know what we did with her when we were using, because I was there, I was present, and I was involved in it. And my mind goes straight to, like, those things aren't changing. So it's been a struggle. It's been a really big fight, but I'm standing up and I'm advocating for my child today. I'm her mother. I'm doing everything I can to protect her today instead of putting her in the line of fire, which is me recovering. But I don't know. I'm really grateful to be here this weekend. It's been an amazing weekend. I'd like to thank the retreat, you know, for everything, and Courtney for asking me to speak, even though I didn't want to. But that's all I have. Thanks.
All right. I'll introduce the next speaker then. I'm Courtney, I'm an addict. And the next speaker is McKinley B. from the Frick Park 12 and 12 group of NA.
Good morning, family. My name is McKinley. I'm an addict.
Hi, McKinley.
I want to thank God and social media for this opportunity to come share the Laurel Mountain Highlands Spiritual Retreat. And the reason I say social media is I'm on Facebook, right? I work a midnight to 8 shift at a rehab. And so I do a lot of Facebook because they go to bed at, 11 o'clock. And so I jump on Facebook and I see I have a message. And the message is like, "Hi, this is Court, and I met you 4 years ago at a campfire with Big Mike and da-da-da. Would you come speak for us?" And so I was like, I got to check my schedule. I said, "What time?" And it was Sunday morning at 9:15. And like, I get off at 8, right? So I had to think about it, and I prayed about it, and I said, you know what? Like, I was taught to never say no for Narcotics Anonymous if there's ever an opportunity to come. Because this is service work. This is one of the benefits I guess we get when we come around long enough. You know, I tell people all the time about speaking, like if you show up long enough and enough people see you, like, eventually they're going to ask you, they're going to want to hear your message, I guess. And so I made arrangements. I got off at 7 this morning, and I live in Uniontown. I came straight from work, and by God's grace and mercy, like, I got here safely. And anytime I introduce myself, I always say, "Hello, family. My name's McKinley. I'm an addict," because, like, you all truly are my family. Like, I have a loving and caring mother and father. I have an older brother, but they're not addicts, and they don't understand the disease of addiction, and they can't identify with the one addict helping another is without parallel part of what keeps me here. And so I'm always really grateful when I get an opportunity to, like, first of all, to be invited somewhere, right? Because, like, when I was using, I was invited to leave places. I was never invited back, right? And so, like, it really touches me when I get invited to come somewhere, share my experience, strength, and hope. And because this is such a gift, and it's like I can only keep it by giving it away. Right, like, I have no idea what I'm going to say up here. I thank God that, like, through this process, I've become comfortable with McKinley, You know what I mean? Because like at the end of my road, I was alone in my addiction. As a result of this disease, I wound up by myself at the end of the road, right? But I always had a longing to like have friends and have people in my life and things of that nature, right? And that's what recovery's given back to me. Right, but it's also made me okay with like the person, like when I look in the mirror today, like I'm okay with the person that I've become. And so like most of the time when I do Narcotics Anonymous things, like I do them with my support group, like most of my best friends are in recovery. My very best friend is in recovery, right? And like last week we went to New Jersey and we went to the Monster Tour, Eminem and Rihanna. Right, so I'm like always doing things with people in recovery. But it's like what I found out is like sometimes we got to like roll solo. You know what I mean? This is one of those cases where I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray. I had time to think, you know, coming up here, not about what I was going to say, but just like to clear my mind. And, you know, when I got here, you know, I had to pee real bad. And so I parked and I went inside and the first person I saw was Dawn, and she's somebody I know from back home. Right. So immediately, like, I knew God got me. Like, I know anytime I show up at a Narcotics Anonymous function, even if I don't know you, that our spirits are going to connect and your family, right? So I get here, and so it's good. I see her, and I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit better. I'm at home. And, you know, I've been clean since December 8th, 1998. I don't say that for, that's all God's doing. It's nothing that I did. Like, when I think about grace and mercy, like, grace is unmerited favor. And, like, I didn't do anything to deserve a seat here. Like, everything I did was, like, to destroy this, you know. And through God's grace and mercy and through Narcotics Anonymous, it's given me a chance to have a life again. You know, and for that, I'm truly grateful. But, you know, like, talking about, like being okay with myself, you know, like I said, I come here and I know, like, when I show up and I see you all, like, I'm at home, you know, and I don't necessarily know what I'm going to say, but, you know, I know that, like, Narcotics Anonymous is awesome. You know, I've had an opportunity. I was an addict that I, you know, at the end of my road, I was stuck in a 3-block radius, you know, and, like, I've been out of the country in recovery. I've been all over the United States in recovery. I've had opportunities to, like, do things that are beyond my wildest dreams. All as a result of, like, you know, getting clean. Like, I have some money today to do some things as a result of getting clean, you know. And like, I'm truly grateful for that. I, you know, this program's awesome. I mean, I would have, you know, the list that I made, you know, because I came around in 87 and like and it took me to 98 to get clean, right? And so, like, when I think about, like, what I wanted, like, at the end of my road, like, when I returned to Pittsburgh, I had been homeless for 2 months in a city that I'm not from, right? And I lost my job, I'd lost my car, I'd lost everything, didn't have anything. And, like, the thing that's so powerful about this program is, like, once the seed's planted and you know that there's a new way of life and you know that there's people, because even in my act of addiction, like, when I was using it at the end of my road and I really wanted to stop but couldn't stop, like, I knew people that were clean. And that was a very powerful thing because, like, I knew that if I got clean, I would have something to return to because I knew there were meetings. I knew that I could go home and call people and get plugged right back in. And, like, that's what I did, you know, at the end of my road when I got clean. And when I came back to Pittsburgh from Harrisburg after this, like, nightmare, and you know, like, my father, because I had lost my car, my addiction, I had lost everything, and I came in here just with nothing. And, like, my father, for the first 90 days, took me to meetings every day. You know, in that time, like, I got real humble. I wasn't one of those people, like, I didn't get a nudge from the judge to come here. Like, that's not part of my story. But, like, what I was humble enough when I came back in here that I knew I needed more help. And so I signed myself up for an outpatient rehab. And in that outpatient rehab, I had to go and get, like, meeting lists signed. You know, and that was the first time I'd ever done that. And it was a really humbling experience. But, like, it helped me so much because, like, I mean, at that point, I was willing to do anything. And so I was, you know, one of the first meetings I came to with this note, and I, you know, I went in the meeting, and like, you know, I was broke. I didn't have a cell phone or anything like that or anything. You know, when I came back, I just was able to go to meetings. I probably didn't even have a dollar to put in the basket. And so, like, I go to this meeting in East Liberty, and this nice-looking lady's chairing the meeting, and I give her my note, and after the meeting, I go up and I pick up my note, you know, and I get out in the car and I'm looking at it on the way home, and like, I see like the name of the meeting, her name and her phone number. And so I couldn't wait to get home, right? So I get home and I call my boy up. I'm all excited. I'm like, look, man, you're not going to believe what happened. I went to the meeting and, this girl gave me her phone number. He's like, well, what happened? I said, yeah, man, she wrote it right on the note. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, she, you know, I had the meeting written down. She wrote her name and then wrote her number under it. He was like, fool, that's what the chairperson's supposed to do. But, like, that's the kind of fog I was in, like, when I first came around, right? Like, you know, to think back on that, and it's, like, funny now. But, you know, and, like, as time went by, and any time, like, I'm at meetings, I really get excited with clean time because, you know, when you get multiple years, you get to celebrate like once a year for 7 days, right? And I get real excited when I see people pick up like those, you know, just for today, and then they come back and they get 30 days. Because, like, I remember what it felt like to get 30 days clean, even still. I remember the accomplishment of, like, getting from 30 days to 60 days and then 90 days. And then it seemed like it took forever to get from 90 to 6 months. Right, then you went from 6 months to 9 months, and then, you know, you get a year, and it's like, it's like an unbelievable feeling, you know. And I still, and I love that about Narcotics Anonymous, and I love the fact that the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting. It's my responsibility as a more experienced member, because I don't consider myself, I mean, I got OMA 15 years and 8 months or whatever clean, but like, I still consider myself new in this. I still try to keep recovery still fresh, you know. And like, I look at people, and you know, I'm looking at Ron over there, and he's got like this gazillion years clean, and it's like, you know, I would love to get to that point. Hopefully, if I live long enough, I will. But you know, like, the newcomer is always the most important person in any meeting, and like, this We Do Recover is like, you know, the we is the most important thing. Like, I work in treatment, and the things I try to impress is, I said, don't leave here without an action plan, right? Because like, when I used, I had an action plan for copping. Like, I knew what I needed to do every day to get what I needed to get for that day. And then I knew how to do it the next day. And I said, you know, oftentimes we're in treatment and we have a chance to like sit down and clear our minds. And it's like, we get in this mode where we just relax. And I'm like, guess what? Like, the disease of addiction does not relax. You know, the disease of addiction is active. You know, recovery is an active process of change, right? So like, if I'm not moving forward, I'm slipping back. Like, that's why I go to meetings, you know. And what I try to tell them is like, you know, when you leave here, like, you should be going to a meeting. Like, you should be getting numbers while you're here, making contacts. So the first thing you do when you get home is get to a meeting, because like, that's where it starts. That's where the foundation is built. And, you know, and that's what this program is based on, you know, is like, one addict helping another is without parallel, you know. And the promises that this program offers, you know, that like, the message is hope and the promise is freedom. That an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And you know, like, that's what I found in this process. This has been an awesome journey. You know, I never would have thought that, you know, the disease of addiction had me in like this pit bullish grip, that, you know, I never thought that I was going to be able to, you know, I never thought that I would get clean, you know what I mean? And, but like, I know that like, now that I am clean, I would never want anything else. Like, I would never, you know, my worst day in recovery is not even close to what, like, even working all night and coming here with no rest. Like, I mean, I used to stay up for days on end, You know what I mean? So I've never been as tired in Narcotics Anonymous as I was in my addiction. And I've never been as hopeless. Like, today I have hope. You know, I have a lot of hope that, like, you know, I've been able to do some things. I went back to school a couple years ago. I got, like, one term left. You know, nothing but God. I started getting letters from this college about, you know, I had it. Somehow, 20 years ago, like in 92, I managed to get an associate degree because I had been to a bunch of schools, you know, go to school, academic probation, out of school, come back to school. So I met this counselor, and he gave me some advice, and I was able to, like, get an associate degree. And that was in 92, and then, like, I got clean in 98, and I saw, like, people going to school, and this is, like, I can tie this in with Redo Recover, because, like, I saw people going to school, right, and they started to get degrees, and I started to listen to them and talk about, like, what they were doing to, you know, to get these degrees, right? And these are people that, like, didn't come in here with high school diplomas. I'm talking, like, JL, GED to having a master's degree. Right, and I said, that's something that I want to do. But then I got fearful because I'm like, well, I haven't been to school in 20 years, right? So I keep getting these letters from this school. And so finally I start communicating with them. And it took 3 years. And finally I got all the financial aid lined up, everything I needed. Fear set in. And it was like they were like, okay, you can start in a week. And I'm like, oh, shit, can I start next semester? You know, and then I was like, you know, and I called a friend of mine, and he was like, you know, just apply the same principles that you learned here and you'll do fine. Right. And I was like, and I was scared. So I went in and, like, I'm on the dean's list. You know what I mean? Things that, and all I did is what I've done here is, you know, I show up one time, I do what's suggested, you know, found out that I had some abilities that I never had an opportunity to use, you know, when I was out there using. And, you know, like, God willing, in another few months, you know, I have a degree. And, you know, and then I'm even looking at, like, what I want to do further than that. Because, like I said, recovery, it's like an ongoing, it's a journey. You know, it really is. It's ongoing. And, you know, I just want to be, you know, like today, and it sounds cliche, but I just want to really be like the best person that I can be today, you know, and Narcotics Anonymous gives me an opportunity to do that, because there's really no situation that I go through here that somebody else hasn't been through. Like I said, it was an example of seeing people go back to school that showed me that I could, you know, problems that I go through, every situation that I face, and even like when I speak and I talk, I always tell people, like, anything you hear me say is like some shit I got from somebody else that was here before me, you know, that, like, spoke this into me, you know, and that's truly how this works. Wow. Yeah. I don't know how long I spoke. I kind of feel like I'm out of things to say. If anything, I just want to, you know, say that I'm grateful to be here, grateful for having an opportunity to come back to this beautiful place. I'm grateful that, you know, for this half hour or whatever, that I was able to stay clean, that you all were able to stay clean. You know, I wish everybody the best. I'm McKinley on that.